O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths will declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The scripture for today is Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 11. Let's prepare our hearts to hear from God's word as we listen to Upon Him by Andy Rosier, John Guerra, and Matt Redman. The repetition of the opening phrases makes the slight changes in verbiage even more striking. The perfect Savior, the greatest love. These phrases stand out. The chorus is steady and persistent, contrasting Christ's death with his resurrection, with the joyful result of our salvation.
Upon a hill, a perfect Savior, upon that day, the greatest love, the punishment that should have fallen on us, upon him, upon his head, a crown of thorns, upon his heart, a broken world, the wage of sin, weight of our transgressions upon him, upon him. Christ has died, we are forgiven in Christ alive. We are the risen and he shall come again. Upon our hearts, his name is written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're pouring out a song of praise together. Upon him, upon him. Christ has died. Forgiven in Christ alive, we are the risen and he shall come again. Praise the King, praise the King. Christ has died.
Ezekiel 33, verses 1 through 11. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, speak to your people and say to them, if I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from among them, and make him their watchman, and if he sees the sword coming upon the land and blows the trumpet and warns the people, then if anyone who hears the sound of the trumpet does not take warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, His blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But if he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. If I say to the wicked, O wicked one, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked to turn from his way, that wicked person shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, that person shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. And you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, thus have you said, surely our transgressions and our sins are upon us, and we rot away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? In this passage, Ezekiel is given an incredibly difficult task. Like a watchman over a city, Ezekiel is to warn the people of impending doom. He is to share with them the difficult truth of the justice and righteousness of God. And why is that a difficult truth? Because on our own, we are not just or righteous. We have sinned and fallen short of God's glory and standards. And our just God will carry out his justice. It was Ezekiel's task to go to the people of Israel who had turned away from God and his ways and warn them of the dangers of continuing to live their lives without proper reference to the God who stands above us. But why was it that God wanted Ezekiel to warn them? Verse 11 tells us, say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God wanted to give the people an opportunity to repent, to find healing and salvation. The 6th century French theologian Caesarius of Arles, in a sermon on this passage, encouraged us to, quote, believe devoutly and firmly that God never abandons a person unless he is first deserted by him. Although a person may have committed serious sins once, twice, and a third time, God still looks for him. And we see that truth so powerfully demonstrated in Jesus, the one in whom the love, grace, and perfect justice of God meet. In Christ's sufferings, we see the severity of our sin as God executes his righteous judgment on the one who, though he knew no sin, became sin for us. But we also see the incredible extent of God's love and his willingness to bear what we deserve so that we might be spared. God wants us to turn from our sin so that we might turn to him. So in the words of Saint Benedict, let us prepare our hearts and bodies for the battle of holy obedience to his instructions. What is not possible to us by nature, let us ask the Lord to supply by the help of his grace. Let's close now with this old Anglican prayer. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. For the sake of your Son, our Savior. Amen.